Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Mem Vav Amud Bet, six lines up. The Gemara begins, Amar Rava, and here we're continuing to speaking about the lungs and issues with the lungs. Hai Reya Dekaima Gilde Gilde. If we have a lung that has scabs all over it, Uchme Uchme, if they are black and black, Chazuta Chazuta Kshera, it's just really a stain, it's not a problem. Now, this does raise an issue, because later today, the Gemara is going to speak about in different colors as to the lung's status when they have different colors of the lung. Over there it says that if the lungs are black, there are two types of black. There's a bluish black, and there's like an ink black. The bluish black is fine. The dark black is problematic. Question is, how does this Gemara fit into that which is said later on? Over here it's saying that you have uchme, uchme, you have black, black, and that's fine. One way to solve the problem is like what you suggested. The difference here between is whether the lung itself has changed black versus here where you have scabs or you have things sitting on the surface of the lung that are black. And maybe that's the distinction. And therefore, even if they're black, it's fine. The Balei Tosafot over here. And then they say, V'hadam rina v'samuch, kid the Utah treifa. That we said that black upcoming on the second half of today's daf is a treifa. Yesh tefareish, dainu kishuruba kach. That's when the majority of the lung is that way. So he suggests that the difference is how much of it has turned black. And if the majority of the lung is black, then it's problematic. Here we're talking about tamim. Here you're speaking about tamim. You're speaking about stains, things that spotted all over the place. Not something where the entirety of the lung is black. That's another distinction. And then it says, Maise Balifnei Rabbeinu Tam. There was an incident with Rabbeinu Tam. V'ichshir, Shloita Ruba Shchora. And he was matir based on this distinction. When the majority was not Shchora, he said it was fine. He says then, Balei Tosafot bring that v'nir the faresh, the uchma the halcha hainu kikuchla. That's another way to deal with this, to say the black over here is a bluish black, which the Gemara later on says is fine, and not the black black. So those are three different ways to resolve this issue. And obviously, have nafkamino the halacha. As you can see here, the Rabbeinu Tam's paskening on a case when they brought a lung that looked like this to him. Amar Meimar Mishmei Durava, Ein Mekifin Biboe. You can't compare boe are either cysts or blisters that are sitting on top of the lung. So what you can't do is take another lung that already exists that you know that was fine, simulate the effect of what's on this lung, and then say, is it kasher or is it not kasher? The problem over here is that the blisters or cysts that are sitting on there, and as Rashi notes over here, that they are boash nikva bereya. It's a blister, a cyst that has a puncture in it. So if you blow up the lungs, air is going to escape through there. There's a hole there. So that's not a question. There is a hole. The real question is, did the hole happen before Shkita or after Shkita? Maybe the blister or whatever was there covered it up. After Shkita, then all of a sudden, there's a hole there. Did that hole happen because of the Shkita, because of the handling of the lungs? Or did that happen beforehand and then it was a treifa? And Rashi notes over here, the question only really arises, Heicha delo mishamsha yodo detabcho, where the hands of the butcher don't touch. Leka de mitle bitabko. So if it's an area where it was handled, the lungs, we assume that the handling is what caused it to burst or caused the hole to be there. So in the areas that were not handled by the butcher, then what is the story with a blister that has a hold on it? Hole in it. And that's what Rashi says. In Yadua, kodem shchitam lachar shchita. We don't know whether it happened before or after shchita. And we hear, Loshom Akifim, he says, Mekarvim Zulazub. We don't bring another lung and try to puncture a hole and see if they look similar, whether it happened before or afterwards, and you try to compare them. We don't do such a thing. That's not efficacious in figuring out whether it happened before or after the Shechita. And as Tosafot points out, and Rashi made it obvious over here as well, which is that if there's no hole in it, then we don't worry about it. It's only because there is a hole there now that we're worried about it. Had there not been a hole, then the lungs are fine. Everything's intact. Just because there's a cyst or a blister growing on there, in of itself, it's not problematic. Next, Amar Rava. Hane tarte one, desricha nahadodi. If you have two lobes of the lungs that are attached together, leit lehu b'dika. There is no way to check them. Velo amran, and we only say this, shelo kisidran, if they're not in order. Aval kisidran, if they are in order, hainu rivitayu. That's the natural growth of the animals, natural growth of the cow. So we're going to get to this in a second, which is that the structure of the lungs of the cow are made up of three lobes on its anatomical right, two lobes on its anatomical left, And then below that, there's called the umma. There's two large sections of the lungs. Those are the bottom of the lungs. That's from the point where the trachea ends and goes down. There are these two large areas of lobes down below. So you have three on the right, two on the left. What we're saying here is that if you have an attachment, some sort of growth that is attaching two of those lobes, that's problematic. Rashi suggests that the problem is that the lobe got a hole in it, and the lobes, or the lungs themselves, draw a lot of liquid. They have tremendous amounts of liquid inside of them, and if there's a hole in them, they start to leach that liquid. What ended up happening was the lung had a hole in it, and then the liquid created a attachment or some sort of growth between the different lobes. So basically what you have here is a lobe that was punctured, then had a seal on it, and then that seal attached itself to the other lobe, and then that's going to eventually come apart. That's the problem, as we're going to see again today. We saw this earlier, that when you have something that had a hole, and then a growth fills it in, that's not considered to be good enough to make it not a trepha, because we assume over time the plug is going to come out, it's not going to hold. But we did also have before that if organs are sitting on top of each other, and then there's a hole, and then they're sitting together, covers up the hole, that is okay. Because there, that's their natural state. That's where there's pressure on the organ. And that'll keep it sealed. The problem is when it's a growth there and there's tension, it'll eventually will loosen and come out. And that's what we're worried about. Rashi says that's exactly what's happening here as well. So Rashi says the problem is that this is an indication of there being a hole there. And then the hole then is sealed up by this sircha, this attachment that's growth between the different lungs. If between the lungs over here, the growth happens in such a manner that it is not on adjacent lungs. It's not on adjacent lobes. That way the pull or the tension that comes from the lobes is going to pull them apart. With the lungs, you have these attachments, these growths that are going between them. For instance, on the anatomical right where there are three lobes, if the upper and lower lobe are attached, and then there's a middle lobe that sits in between them, what Rashi points out is that as the lungs inflate, that middle lobe is going to eventually put pressure on the outer lobe being attached, and it's going to cause it to snap. It's going to cause it to break, and that's going to make the, or at least the hole that was plugged up by this growth. Now then, if they are adjacent lobes over here that have this growth in it, then that's their natural state. There's no pressure actually for them to pull apart. There's more pressure or tension that's actually keeping them together rather than apart. Because as they inflate, they're going to squeeze together rather than pull away from each other. And their natural state is sitting next to each other. So that attachment over there is considered to be revitayu, the natural growth. So here again, when it's over the two lobes and leave in the middle, that we expect the expansion to cause it to tear. Whereas here, when it's between the lobes, then we think that it's fine because of the fact that it doesn't detach. That's Rashi's view as what the issue is. Rashi thinks that the problem is that there's a hole. The hole was sealed up. And then the question is, how efficacious is the seal on the hole? Generally, we feel that it's not efficacious. So here, the clarification is, that's only in situations where they're far apart, or they're going to pull away from each other, then that's going to cause that seal to break. But if they are right next to each other, that seal will stay in place. That's a natural way that the lungs grow. And for that reason, it's okay. The Baal HaTosafot, on the other hand, see the problem, actually the exact opposite of Rashi, and that is that, quotes from the Rabbeinu Chananel as well, that the problem is that, not that there's a hole there, but the lungs naturally have these sticky growths between them. That's because they leach liquid. They draw a tremendous amount of liquid towards them. And therefore, they create these sirchot, these growths or attachments between them. Our fear is if the attachment breaks, it's going to cause a hole in the lung. It's not actually an indication of a seal of a hole, but rather it itself tears, and that'll create a hole. So when they're far away from each other, there's a high likelihood it will tear and cause a rip the lung and cause a hole. If they're close together up in the adjacent lobes, then they're not going to tear and there's going to be no hole over there. So that's the view of the Rabbeinu Chananel, which Tosafot brings. But then he says that the Lashon HaGemara, that the language of the Gemara is somewhat supportive of Rashi because it's written in the past tense, not in the future tense. And he says that you can reconcile Rashi's view over here, that you differentiate between when a krum is like organs that are placed next to each other versus a krum that develops when it's under tension, under pressure. That will be the reason for the difference as to why, even though there's a hole there, the krum is successful at covering it up, even though later on we're going to say that it is not successful at doing such. So that's a difference in the view as to what the issue is. According to Rashi, it's interesting because you did have a hole that got sealed up, which means that it doesn't automatically become a treifa just because it had a hole, as long as it can self-heal. And that's what happens here. It self-heals. As long as that self-healing is permanent in nature, that erases the problem of treifa. It really meant that there was never a treifa here all along. But in cases where that's not going to be a permanent seal or a proper seal, then it will become a treifa or will remain a treifa, according to Rashi. There are certain holes in the lungs that are treifa, certain that are not. And the only way to know is after the fact, how they seal up. And the way that they seal up with the one adjacent to it, then it is something that has a refuah. Seals up with something that's not adjacent to it, then it is problematic. And that's how Bali HaTosafot explained Rashi's view over here. The Raifid, on the other hand, has a differentiated view, which is that the sirchot are created for different reasons. If the sirchot are created with lobes that are not adjacent, then it's similar to Rashi, which is that there's a hole in there. And that's what created the problem, and therefore it's a treifa. On the other hand, when the sirchot develop between lobes that are adjacent, that's a natural phenomenon from the leaching of liquids, because the lungs are so absorptive that they have that liquid that causes the sircha, and it's not a result of a hole there, but rather it's a natural growth. And therefore he balances between Rashi and the Bali HaTosafot to get to that view that there's the difference is actually more fundamental than the tension placed on non-adjacent and adjacent lobes. The Bali HaTosafot over here also narrowed the scope of the Kisidran head there over here that says that it's okay. First thing they say that it's only true when they're on the same plane, that the sircha is happening on the edges of the lobes that are actually next to each other. But if you have one lobe that's sitting on top of another lobe, and then there's a sircha that joins between them, even though they're adjacent lobes, that's problematic because there the tension will pull and cause it to tear and make a hole in it. Or according to Rashi, that was a result of a hole, but will not stay there. But if they are adjacent along the gapping that's between the lobes, the natural gapping there, there's a sircha, that will not tear, and that's considered to be a good sircha. In addition, he brings from the Rabbeinu Chananel that the Oruch quotes by the Rabbeinu Chananel that he has a Kabbalah, Rav Mipi Rav, that if the two lobes are attached, it's only if they're attached along the entire dividing line between them. If there's any gapping or chalon windows in there, then it's problematic. Even though from the Tshuva Ta'Gaonim, we find the opposite, that they think even the smallest sircha is not a problem. And the Tosafot just concludes that that Mesorah that the Rabbeinu Chananel has, that Rabbeinu Yehuda was very perplexed by it, because we don't find anywhere such a Mesorah written in any of the halakhot of the Rabboteinu, that we don't find any indication that there's any difference as to whether the sircha is along the natural divider between the lobes, or it actually starts from the base and rolls all the way out, like the Rabbeinu Chananel says. Everybody doesn't see any source for this chumrah of the Rabbeinu Chananel. Now over here, you get an insight into Rashi, which is that we usually see Rashi as a commentary. We see Rashi Chumash in Gemara and in Tanakh. Everywhere that we see Rashi is really a commentary. Here you get really a tremendous insight into Rashi as a posek, and unbelievable couple of Rashis over here. Rashi speaking about personal experiences, Mesorot that he had from his Rebbeim, how he learned how to give the psak in these situations. You see this in a couple places in Shas. Here in Chulin is one of them. It also tells us how much they were hands-on with whatever was going on in the Gemara. Again, we're so detached from it because it's all done in the factories now. We don't really see the Shechita. This was daily reality for them. And they really were hands-on, knew what the animals looked like. And they saw cases that looked exactly like this. And they're trying to work with what the Gemara is saying and understand how it relates to what they are seeing. So now Rashi over here says, Rav over here only discusses what's called the onot, which are the lobes of the lungs. And Rashi over here says, V'chein alocha, the locha here is like Rav, delekem upon the poligale. Nobody argues on Rav over here. There's no dissension in the Gemara's position. Vona sucha be'uma. The Rashi now brings in a new problem. Rava only discussed the case where the two right lobes are attached to each other. What they did not discuss is the attachment between those lobes and the umma, which are the lower part of the lungs, the large areas of the lung below. What's the story if those get attached? V'yetzla, and it's adjacent. It's a lobe that's adjacent to the umma. What's the din if there's an attachment, there's some sort of growth between them? Maseh bali adi. He says, I had a case. I had a situation like this that I had to paskin on. Mishalti et pi Rabbeinu Yaakov bar Rabbi Yaakov. And I asked my Rebbe. This is one of Rashi's Rebbeim, who he quotes numerous times in Shas. Rabbeinu Yaakov bar Rabbi Meir. Ve'etir li lechol. And he said it was mutter to eat. He paskin for me. Ve'yesh osrim. But he told me there are people who are oser. Bu'amar li tamo v'tamam. And he explained to me their position, why they think it's problematic. and his position, why he thinks it's okay. So he says, the Osurim, those that say that it's problematic, we only see that Rava addressed the issue of Oneg. He only addressed the issue of lobes. And so now, lobes have the heter that Rava speaks about. The Uma does not have that heter. And because of that, the attachment between the lobe and the Uma is going to be problematic. In addition, they make a suggestion that the upper lobes of the lungs are pressed in the area of the chest, the cavity of the chest, in between the ribs. It narrows towards the front of the animal. And so what the suggestion is that narrowing of the body of the animal towards the front keeps pressure on the lobes. So that way, if there are attachments between them, they don't tear because they're held in place by the structure of the animal. As you move down the cavity of the inner of the animal inside the ribs, it widens significantly. By the time you get to the umot, which are much further down the animal, you don't have that external pressure holding them together. And so that's their second claim, which is absent that narrowness of the rib cage around them that would hold them in place, they would pull apart. That the narrowness of the space causes it to be hotter in that area or warmer in that area. And that warmth or heat makes sure that they don't split, keeps it tighter, and so they don't split apart. And so for those two reasons, they think that it's problematic. But then, Itam Mori, he says, and then my Rebbe said to me, Lo Matsinu Uma Bin Gemara. Says, the Gemara never mentions this term Uma. V'rava lo amar tamo mishum chom. And Rava never said anything to do with heat and about the narrowness of the body of the animal. And he says that the reason why when they're adjacent to each other, it is okay is because hainu rivi tayu. Because that's their natural growth to be next to each other. And therefore, loshna oni loshna uma. Makes no difference if you're talking about the lobes or you're talking about the large sections of the lungs at the bottom. And the reason Rava mentioned the one, why did he mention the one and not the uma then? He should have mentioned everything. He says to teach you that when they're locus sidran, when they're not in order, that's where the problem is. So when they're out of order, then when they're attached, the first lobe to the third lobe, that's when you run out of problem. Even though that area of the animal is narrow and tight, even though that's so, when they're not in sequential order where they're attached, they can tear apart. Even despite all the pressure keeping them together, there's still enough reason to believe. And that's the Chiddush, why he mentioned One and not the Uma. And for that reason, he wants to be Matir. And then later on, Rashi brings V'sayak Ma'atzat D'Vrav B'Tshuvat HaGonim. Rashi says, I found backup from my Rebbe from the Tshuvat HaGonim, B'Nikvarim D'Vrei Amet. And when things are right and true, you find them. You're going to find out that that's the case. And Rashi backs his Rebbe's position over here. Then he mentioned something that we're going to get to in the Gemara in a second, which is the Uninita D'Varda. It's what's called the accessory lobe. We're going to get to it in 1 second in the Gemara, which seemingly is problematic. Over there, Rashi says this accessory lobe, which sits on top of the other lungs, if it's attached to any one of the lobes or the uma, that's problematic because it's considered to be locus sidran. It's out of order for anything because it doesn't sit on the same plane as all the other lobes or the uma itself. It's already lifted off the back of the lungs. We're going to talk about this in a second. And therefore, if it's attached to anything, it's problematic. So now here you see Rashi, as a posek, asking a shayla, he has an issue, his Rebbe's speaking to him, telling him the different opinions about this, and giving up sakalocha. It's incredible, really, an insight into Rashi and the experience that he's having with these animals. Although Rashi's grandson, who's brought in the Balei Tosfot, Rabbeinu Tam, pasak li'isur, thinks that it's problematic what Rashi said. V'amar d'chol ha'machil, onas rucha be'uma, machil trefot b'Yisrael. He says that anybody, including his grandfather, who allowed people to eat an ona, a lobe that was attached to the oma, is feeding trefot to Israel, the nire tama usrim. Because he says that those that are otser, their position makes more sense. And even though the Gemara never makes any distinction between uma and onot, it's clear from the Gemara that such a distinction exists because Rava says there are only 5 onot, 5 lobes. The truth is that the lungs have 7 lobes if you think that they're all the same thing and there's no distinction between onot and umot. The fact that the Rishonim came up with another name for the 2 lower pieces is because the Gemara only says that there are 5 onot, 5 lobes, instead of 7. And that distinction is borne out by the statement of Rava later on, that there are only 5 onot, and that means that the umot, even though they don't exist in the Gemara, they're called reot in the Gemara, and that distinction is already created by the Gemara. And interesting enough, the Bahag, B'Tshuvat HaGonim, by Rabbi Moshe Pontiza, Nizkar Baruch, Im HaGonim, Chen Ogim, B'chol Makom Li'isur, Chutz Mimakom Shor Benu Shlomo. He says, everywhere else in the Jewish world, They say this is Asur, except for Rashi's city, where Rashi gave this psak, and everybody follows Rashi. And all of his Rebbeim disagree with Rabbeinu Yaakov at Yakar. So Rashi held like his Rebbe, who said it was Mutar, and the entire world argues on them. We came from a place where the Heter was like Rashi, because there is Rabbeinu Gershom, Rabbeinu Nachshon Gaon, Rabbeinu Chananel, Rabbeinu Shmuel, Rabbi Yaakov ben Rabbeinu Yehuda, Kula Matirim. There are a huge number of people that are Matir. But also Rabbeinu Yehuda Matzati Latir B'Shem Riva. So this is a battle of the Gdolim as to whether this issue goes like Rashi, which it is, that it's Mutar, it's Kshera, or it goes like the Rabbeinu Tam, who says that it is problematic. Because of the complications in Inyan Halacha, both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah bring down that we are very wary of Sirchot, both because of this Machloket Rashi and the Rabbeinu Chananel, as well as Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, and including the fact that the Baal Tosafot will bring B'Shem Rabbeinu Gershom, that you actually have to inflate the lungs in order to test the Sirchot. Because of all these things, in general, we try to avoid the Sirchot. And that's why the Minhag Yisrael is generally to eat glatt kosher meat, which means lungs that don't have Sirchot on them, to avoid this problem of checking them. Even though there are possible ways, and you can look into it in the Rishonim Achronim to check and to have some kulot there, nevertheless, the general practice was to avoid it completely. Amar Rava, Hanei Tarte Boe, Desmichei Lahadodi, Leit Lahu B'dikuta. If you have these two, we'll call them blisters, the important aspect of them here is that they have what's called mugla inside of them. They have liquid inside of them. That's the important aspect we'll see in a second. Now, if they grow next to each other, there's no way to check them. So, as opposed to the bowie that we saw before, the cysts or the blisters we saw before, there was a check. Did they have a hole in them or did not have a hole in them? If they have a hole in them, they're problematic. If they don't have a hole, they're not problematic. So, seemingly, it should be the same thing over here, which is that if you have two adjacent blisters or cysts, you should be able to check. Is there a hole or not a hole in them? And that should solve the problem. The problem is that the assumption is that if you have blisters that are adjacent to each other, cysts that are adjacent to each other, they were caused by a hole that's sitting in between them. And that the fact that there are multiple blisters or cysts around a single location is indicative, is symptomatic of a hole that's there. Well, if there's a hole, how come there's nothing coming out of it? The answer is that the walls of the two blisters ended up sitting on the hole. They're adjacent to each other. They're blocking the air of the hole coming out, but they're really not covering the hole, and the hole exists, so now there's no way to check them. Chado, umitchazia ketarte, on the other hand, if you have one blister that looks like two, you see it's a single blister or cyst that's there with liquid inside of it, and you see that there's some sort of dividing wall in between it. There's something that's sitting between them that causes a division. They're not two, they look like one. Maitinan silva, you bring a prick, a thorn, something sharp, and you puncture one of them. If the liquid from one spills into the other, meaning that if you press, pop one of them, all the liquid from that one's going to come out. Then you see if the liquid from the second one also empties out, then you know, then it's really one blister or cyst, then it's kasher. Velo, if the wall is solid enough that when you puncture one of them, the liquid remains in the other one, then tarte ninu utrefa. Then they're considered to be two, and they are a trefa. So now, the Tosfot over here brings, kata balalachot gedolot, di bo'ot b'shipulei rea, if you have bo'ot that are at the edges of the lungs, the lobes, dainu b'shipulei onot, o umot, they're on those edges, trefa, the animal's a trefa. Uperishatam, and he explains why he thinks that way, is the chol yeter k'natul dami. Whenever you have something that's more, it's considered to be taken away. The view that we have in the Gemara in Bechorot, we're going to see later on in Chulin as well, that if you have an extra organ, an extra limb, we don't view that as just being, okay, he's got a little extra. We're going to see this with the lobes as well. You have an extra lobe, that's considered to be a trefa, because we look at the extra lobe as if it doesn't exist, and it means that there's something missing over here. You have something that's there, as if there's a hole there, as if there's something missing. He says the same thing happens when you have a blister at the edge of the lung. So here, if you look at the lung from a lateral side, you're seeing, looking at it, hanging, not from the front or the back of the lungs, but sideways, you look at the lung. If you have a blister, a cyst at the edge of it, it actually looks like two blisters, because you see it from both sides. So since it looks, you can see it from both sides, it has a view like two blisters, that's number one. And number two is, he sees it as being an outgrowth of the lung. It says an outgrowth of the lung, it's an extension of the lung. It looks like the lung now has an extra part to it. And if you look at it, kenotuldami, if it's taken away, then you have a hole at the edge of the lung. And tell us what it says about this, v'tema, ma'inyan zeh etzel zeh. He says he's confusing two different issues. He's using blisters and cysts, which are one issue, and another one, which are extra organs or growths that happen. These don't overlap with each other. He says, v'shema, and then he says, maybe, shatam kishomet b'sof sofo. It's at the edge, at the tip of it, lipasek le'nakev. It ends up breaking and causing a hole. V'tov li'zaher, and you should be careful for that. Shechol divrehem divrei kabbalah. Whatever they have is a mesora. And so we can't just say it doesn't make sense, and therefore we're not going to poskim like it. We have to take into consideration what they're saying. V'chein pasak Rabbeinu Gershom, or the other Gersi is Rabbeinu Chananel, kadav di mahada lahudrana bisra kishera. That on the other hand, if it's surrounded by basar on all sides, and that it has flesh, it has a membrane around it on all sides, then it's not an issue at all. So there they have a little bit of a kula, which is if the liquid or the blister, whatever it is there, is surrounded by a complete membrane around, then that's fine. And number two, they do say they're choshesh for this issue that the Bahag raises, which is that if you have a little growth at the end of the lung, we worry about it. Toslavot says he doesn't think for the reason the Bahag says, which is that it's an extra growth, but more because it's in a precarious position, which is more likely to tear or rip, because it's all the way at the edge, and therefore it's not strong or well held in there, and it's going to separate or break, and that's going to cause a hole. That's the Shita Tam, that the whole problem with these items is that they will rip later and cause a hole later, not that there was a hole that got sealed up. So for that reason, the Baal Tosafot say, even though we don't really understand the Baal HaLoga D'Dolot, we still are going to be Choshesh L'Shita To. Then the next Tosafot says, Katav Yilchot Shreifot Rabbeinu Gershom, the Rabbeinu Gershom that we have here on the side of the dock, he also had a halakot of treifot. Tafilo yesh hefsek b'neihem kachuta sara treifa. How far apart do they need to be in order to be considered two different blisters, or to be considered blisters that are adjacent to each other? So Rabbeinu Gershom says if you can put a hair between them, they're still considered to be one blister. Even if you can slide a hair between the two of them, that's a single blister. But, he says from this, mashma te'im ikka, if there's enough space to put shnei chutim, you can put two strings or two hairs there. Lo chashiv smicha adadi uksheira. So here's the determination as how far away the blisters have to be considered two separate blisters versus two blisters that are adjacent or stuck to each other. So he says if it's a single hair's breadth between them, that's already still attached. If there are two hairs' breadth between them, that's already kasher. Because of Rabbeinu Yehuda, dafka bibo'ot sheish ben mugla. This all is true, and this is what we mentioned before, with blisters that have liquid inside of them. Avad smachim kashim. If they have growths that are solid growths that are over there, afilu smichei kshera. Even if they're close together, they're kasher. V'chein perish Rabbeinu Shmua. And same, the Rashbam says the same thing, that all of this issue with the blisters is all talking about blisters filled with liquid, not these items when they are dry. Again, Baal HaTosafot speaking about what they're seeing and trying to compare it to what they're seeing in the Gemara itself. So now, the Gemara continues and says, V'amar Rava. Now Rava gives you the anatomy of a normal cow, which is hey one itle the reya. There are five lobes that the cow has. Apa kalpe grabra, when it's facing the butcher himself. Tlata mi yamina, vitarte mi smola. Three on the right, two on the left. The truth is that this is the anatomical right and anatomical left of the animal. That's usually the way these things are described. You're gonna see in the Rishonim that they don't necessarily describe it that way. They usually describe it based on the way the person who's facing the animal looks at it. But when you look at the anatomical right of the animal, that means the right of the animal itself, it has three lobes over there, and on the anatomical left, it has two lobes. The way that Rova describes it is, when you're flaying the animal and opening it up, you hang it from its feet. It's hanging now upside down, facing the butcher. So now, if it's on the butcher's right, there are three lobes, which also happens to be the anatomical right of the animal. So it turns out the way that Rova is describing it and the anatomical right are the same thing, because the right of the butcher, when the animal's hanging upside down facing the butcher, is the anatomical right. The right is to the right then. And therefore, the right side is three lobes and the left side is two lobes. Now that is important because chasir o yatir, if there's an extra lobe or there's a missing lobe, o chalif, or they're flipped around, trefa. all of those are considered to be problematic. So first of all, if you have less than three lobes on the right side, or you have less than two lobes on the left side, or you have more than three lobes on the right side, or more than two lobes on the left side, all of those are trefot. Chalif, if they get flipped around, there are different ways in the Rishonim to speak about what chalif means. The basic way, or the simplest way to read it, is that you have three on the left now and two on the right. They got exchanged. It's now backwards. So that's a problem. Others suggest that it just means that structure of the lobes on the right side and left side are different. And if the shape of the lobes on one side is now the shape on the other side, even if they still have the same number, still three on the right, two on the left, but the shape of the lobes matches the lobes on the opposite side instead of the natural shape of the lobe, that's called the chalif. Or some suggest over here that if you have three on the right and four on the left, that's called chalif. Not yatir, but actually chalif. So those are different ways to explain the chalif, but all of these are problematic. Now, Rashi says over here, Sfirle the Roba kinotul dami. Roba believes that when you have an extra lobe, it's as if the lobe's taken away, and that's why it's a problem. Filet hilchata kavate. The locha is not like Roba. Kedamrini misamuch, as we're going to show in a second. Vereiti. Shehekshira mori Rabbeinu Yaakov. So Rabbeinu Yaakov Yakar, again, is Rebbe. Aval b'chassir b'chalif, alocha kimoto, delekim antipolik. He says, the Gemara upcoming is going to argue on Rava, when you have an extra lobe, that's going to be problematic. But when you're missing a lobe, or the lobes are exchanged, the alocha is like him, and he said, I saw my Rebbe paskin against this view of Rava, when there's an extra lobe there, that it's not kasher. Because now, here's the case that came up. Hayyaterta, there was the ate that came to Mereimar. There was this extra lobe that was brought to Mereimar. Aviyati Rav Acha Bobo. Rav Acha was sitting by the doorway to Mereimar's house, Mereimar's Beit Midrash, and people are bringing him lungs to look at. I mean, this again, it's a sense of how daily this was for them and how real it was for them. Somebody's bringing them a lungs and they find a yaterta. There's an extra lobe on there. Amalei Mayar Marlocha. On the way out, the butcher's coming out from seeing Mereimar and he bumps into Rav Acha at the doorway. And Rav Acha says to him, what did he tell you? Amalei Akshara Niela. He said it was fine. Totally fine. Amalei Hadar Ailei Kamei. Go back and ask him again. He clearly thinks there's a problem here because they have Rava. Rava said that if you have a yatir, if you have an extra lobe, it's a trefa. So he can't believe that Mereimar was matir it. He thinks that Mereimar didn't look at it carefully enough to see that there was an extra lobe on the lung. So he sends the butcher back in to see Mereimar again. So Amalei, what's even funnier is that Mereimar says to the butcher when he comes back in, Zilma Eleman Diyote Vabobo. Tell the guy who's sitting by the door, Rav Acha, Lay Tilchotok of a day to Rava B'yiterot. The halacha is not like Rava with extra lobes. Again, here you have what Rashi is noting over here, that the halacha is not like Rava because of the case law that we see here, that Mereimar says we don't pass them like Rava when it's an extra lobe. Bahani Mili, but there is one qualification of that. De Kaima Bidara Da'uni. It's only if it's on the plane of the other lobes. So as long as it's on the same plane as the other lobes, then that's considered to be fine. Aval beni beni trefa. But if it's off the plane of the other lobes, I mean it's on top, it's in areas where the other lobes don't sit, that is considered to be an extra growth and problematic if it's not in the dara, it's not on the plane of the other lobes. And that can be in a number of different places. That could be on top of the lobes, on top of the umot, between the umot, down below. I mean, there are many different places where it's not on the plane with the other umot, where it's going to be problematic. So now we have a case like this. How beni beni datu lekamei deravashi? Exactly this situation. You had an extra lobe that was not on the plane of the other lobes that was brought to Ravashi. So Ravashi the mitrafa. Ravashi says it's a trefa. That's exactly what we just saw from Mereimar, who paskin against Rava that Yetera is problematic, but he agrees with Rava when it's not on the plane of the other lobes. Amalei Ravuna mar bar avya. Because either could mean that Ravuna is speaking to Ravashi, who is Mar Baravya, or it could be his proper name, which is Samale Ravuna Mar Baravya, Ravuna, the master, the son of Avya, Kohane Chive Braito, all the wild animals, or all the animals that go out and graze, Hacha Itlu, they all have this feature, Vikari Lu Tabche, and it's so common that the butchers have a name for it already. They call it Inunita de Varda. So Varda is the color, which is that it's a reddish tint. It has a very red side to it. Inunita, Rashi says, is from the word Aleph, not an I in there. Inunita means like a small ona. It's a tiny lobe that is red. That's their description of it. I would have might have said that it's Inunita comes from the word ani, the poor one, meaning it's a poor brother to the other lobes. It's a much smaller lobe. So what they're referring to over here is what's called the accessory lobe. The accessory lobe is a lobe that grows in between basically all of the lobes and the umot down below, and it's found in most of the animals that they see. And therefore he says it's not a growth that is unusual. This is what all the animals have. So that makes it okay. Bahane mile migavai. That's only true if it's on the internal side of the lungs, meaning that the side that faces downwards. Alava gaba. It's on the back of the lungs. Afilu ketarfa da'asa. Even if it's only the size of a myrtle leaf, trefa, it is a problem. All right, so let's work through this, because again here, Rashi gives a big sack over here. Bali Tosafot don't necessarily agree with him, but Rashi over here says about this. Ubahane didan, our animals. Di peruba didu. Imashkachina rea delayed by inunita kashera. Rashi says the majority of our animals have this accessory lobe. So Rashi acknowledges what Ravashi is seeing and what Ravuna suggested over here, that the majority of animals actually have this accessory lobe. But Rashi also acknowledges that there are a minority of animals that do not have the accessory lobe. So now what is the meaning of not having that accessory lobe? Does that accessory lobe, now that the majority have it, that means if you don't have it, it's a trefa? Or is it not having it, still okay? Rashi says over here, because the majority have it, implies that there was a minority that didn't have it, and the only reason we are matur it is because the majority had it. But absent that lobe, it would have been fine. That would have been a good kosher animal. Uke de mishkachan tarte unanita. What happens when you find two of these accessory lobes on the lungs? Again, shamat mi pi moria zakein. I heard from my Rebbe, shenechlu huba gdolei ador. The Gdolei Ador argued about this. Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Baruch v'chavei Rav had a disagreement about this. V'lo perish li dato, but my Rebbe never told me who he held like. He says, v'nira li, she treifa. Rashi declares it a treifa, and he says, because when we said over here, yetero de beni beni, we said that if you have extra lobes that are not on the plane of the other lobes, those are considered to be a treifa. Even according to Mereimar, who said Rav was wrong about yeterot, he said that when it's not on the plane of the other lobes, it is considered to be a treifa. The only reason we're matir, the accessory lobe, is because both of the animals have it, and therefore it's not considered to be a treifa. But that means if you have two of them, we're not going to now say that the din of beni beni doesn't apply. It applies. It just now starts at two instead of one. An accessory lobe is fine. Two accessory lobes is problematic. That's the view of Rashi over here, that two accessory lobes is already a treifa. No accessory lobes is fine. One accessory lobe is fine. You hit two, you're already at a treifa. So Tosfot says over here, V'adamar beni beni treifa, heine deheche de gdola harbe. It's a problem when it's in between or not on the plane. That's when it's really big. Ve'eno domeno ninita devarda. It's not like the small accessory lobe. So that's the first thing. Tosfot says that there is a limit to the size of this accessory lobe. If it's a small lobe, then it's kasher. It's a very large lobe, then it's problematic. Then he brings Rashi, who says that if you have two accessory lobes, it's a treifa. But then he quotes the Rabbeinu Ephraim. Omer, dalachat, loy omer, kohane ize breita hachi idluhu. Rav Huna doesn't need to tell Rav Ashi that all the animals that come have one accessory lobe. Veloya sabor Rashi the mitrufa. And Rav Ashi would never have made it into a treifa. Rav Ashi's seen tons of animals too. He knows that this accessory lobe shows up all the time. Da'akulu idluhu, because all of them have it. Elavada afilu ashnaim kamar. He's really speaking about an extra accessory lobe. The first accessory lobe is what naturally comes in the animals, and Rav Ashi wouldn't have been mitarik that. Rav Ashi sees two accessory lobes, and that's what gets him worried, and he wants to make it into a treifa. And then Rav Huna comes along and says to him, though all the Izei Baraita have that. All these grazing animals have this second accessory lobe. The fikach, imein lo afilu achat treifa. So for that reason now, he suggests two dinim out of this. One, the Rabbeinu Ephraim says that if you have two accessory lobes, it's fine. And one accessory lobe is fine, but zero is a treifa. Rashi said if you have zero, it's not a treifa, because that was what Ravashi was looking at. Ravashi thought all of them don't have it, and then he finds one that has it, and then Ravuna says to him, there are a lot of animals with this accessory lobe. So for him, the natural state was no lobes at all, and then the robe that now comes up that changes the din is that there's one accessory lobe. The Rabbeinu Ephraim says no, that the natural state is one accessory lobe. What Rav Ashi was looking at was a second accessory lobe, and that's what he wanted to be, mitareif. And then Rav Huna says to him, no, many of the animals have this. For Rabbeinu Ephraim, two accessory lobes are kasher. One is also kasher, because all the animals have it. Zero is a treifa, because that's not In case, Benira Dein Rayami Behemot Shalano. There's no proof from our animals. The Shema Chalukot Mishalem. Maybe our animals are different than their animals. What Tosfot is saying is what Rashi says over here. We see our animals, the majority of animals only have one accessory lobe on them, and then there's some without them. So that seems to be the natural state. The robe have it. Some, a minority or a decent minority, don't have it. He says, don't prove from that that that's what Rav Ashi was looking at. Because who knows, our animals may be different. He brings other items where the Gemara says they made animals, and he says our animals are different than that. They birth differently than the animals of the Gemara. And so, this is a classic line at Tosfot, Nishtanu Atevaim, that the nature has changed over time. And therefore, given that change in nature, you can't say what's true. Today was what they were looking at back 700 years ago. Tosfot ends off, I'm a Dover Karashi. It says, nevertheless, Sak heavily leans towards Rashi. The Tabachim call it the accessory lobe or the small red lobe. Mashma kepei rishon, the shem Elohi. The fact that they gave a name to this item, they don't call it a plural. They call a single lobe and they call it the single accessory lobe, seems to prove that there was only one lobe there and not two lobes there. Had there been two lobes there, either they should have used the plurality or they should have given it two names. The fact that they have one name for it sounds like there's only one extra lobe that's there. Therefore, the Bali Tosafot favor Rashi's explanation over here of Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. And again, these all have nafkamino, the trefot, when we see the lungs of the cows that we see today. What is the din of this accessory lobe, or what's the din if it doesn't have the accessory lobe that sits over there? And again, where the accessory lobe sits is also important. It has to be on the underbelly of the lungs, not on the back of the lungs. Rashi also notes over here that there were a number of people who suggested that if one of the lobes was missing on the right side, that the Inunita Devardo could fill in, that accessory lobe could fill in for it because it was skewed to the right side. Rashi dismisses that and says that he feels that that can't be the case because the Inunita Devardo is not on the same plane as the lobes on the right side. And all it means is that you have a chaser on the right side and you have the normal accessory lobe that is there. Or you can call it the Khalif, that it's actually an exchange of the lobes. And that right lobe is now found as an accessory lobe, and therefore he believes that it should be a trefa. So Tosfot over here brings a number of items with the extra lobe problem, and that the Gemara says over here that the lobe on the back of the lungs is problematic, even if it's only the size of a myrtle leaf. Tosfot over here says that Mekotav b'tshuva, Mishum Avies Haravan, Kotav Aribi Yitzchak b'sifro, that in a tshuva, filu avia ketarfa da'asa, eliyadei neficha trefa, that if it's the lobe only expands to the size of a myrtle leaf when you inflate the lungs, that's a trefa. So the measurement is not with deflated lungs, but rather inflated lungs. And if there's a lobe there the size of a myrtle leaf, that's enough to be problematic. And the reason for that is what the Rosh says, is that anything that we deal with trefot by lungs, we always check the lungs when they're inflated. And that's because the natural state of the lungs when the animal's alive is that they're inflated. And so therefore we have to inflate them to get a sense of whether it's a trefa or not. So any test we're going to do with regards to the lungs to see if there's an extra piece, if it's a fold, there's something wrong there, you have to inflate them in order to check that. In terms of the myrtle leaf, other ways to measure the myrtle leaf is to look at the nail of your thumb or to look at the knuckle of your thumb. They're all about the same size as a myrtle leaf if you want a rough measure, if you don't have a myrtle leaf available to measure it. And he says, the extra lobe doesn't expand to the point of a myrtle leaf after it's inflated near la vie zrishik shira. He thinks that that is totally fine. So again, there is a minimum size to be an extra lobe. And that minimum size is conducted when the lungs are inflated. So that's a chumrah that they have to be inflated. The kula is that once they are inflated and it doesn't meet that minimum threshold, it's not considered to be an extra lobe. That's number one. Number two is, his father, the Ravan, writes, in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, the Dafka b'sharonot b'gavareya habyatrefa. With the other lobes and the back of the lungs, that's when the extra lobe is a problem. Avonot b'tzad yamina tachtona shiel yona asmucha letzavar, the lowest of the lobes when the animal's hanging upside down and being flayed. But when the animal's upright, it means towards the neck. That top lobe on the right side, tzavar k'sheira, that is normal for it to split into two lobes. So he says that there's a natural phenomenon. The upper right lobe splits into two. And because of that, it's not considered to be a trefa because that's something that happens on a regular basis. That's one thing that he brings over here, the Bali Tosafot. The other thing the Bali Tosafot will bring over here, Venire, Mnitse da yuninita the tzat small, came into la borcha bach a trefa. That accessory lobe, which is then underneath the underbelly of the lungs, it is skewed to the right side of the lungs. And if you find it on the left side of the lungs, that accessory lobe, it is a trepha. Because the Gemara explains that the grazing animals, whether the girsa is izei breita, those goats that go out and graze, or the wild goats, or as any animals that graze have it, va dimeita gaba v'lomameit letzad small. So then why does the Gemara only say that when it's on its back it's problematic? Then when it's on its left side, it would be even more of a chiddush to say when it's on the left of the internal side, that's a trefa. Why doesn't the Gemara mention that? So lemeute afilu biyamin. That's to tell you that on the top of it, on the outside, even if it's on the right side, it's problematic, the accessory lobe, because it's on the outer side of the lungs. Vim shinta mikoma, hanea nira lahatir, midmeit gabe gaba dafka. But he says that from the language of the Gemara, it does sound like the problem is really that when it's on the back and not when it's on the front. And that would mean that if it moves over to the left side, it wouldn't be a problem. Even though Rashi says it's a problem when you have two accessory lobes, even though one of them is not in place. Sounds like from Rashi, the problem is not that there's an accessory lobe not on the right side. When you have two, by definition, it's not in the natural place of the accessory lobe, because one's in the place where it is. There's an additional one. It sounds like Rashi's posel because there are two, not because the second one is out of place. That should have been the problem. Ach Maria Rab Dudi Zalamar Shaya Mikubal Esor. The Kabbalah was that when it was out of place, the accessory lobe, they were Oser, even though the Gemara sounds like it should be okay. They have sure at the time of Shum Dalab Orche Beochi. Maybe the answer is, or the reason is, because that's not the natural way it looks. That the accessory lobe is only considered to be kasher and not a problem when it shows up in the place that it naturally should be. Or where it's normally found, and that's on the right side. If it's out of place, maybe that's enough to deem it a trefa. So he says, even from a diok out of Rashi, as well as a diok out of the Gemara, you would have had a havamina to be matir, such an animal. Nevertheless, he says that we are noeg lahachmir. He says maybe that's just because when it's not in place, it's not considered to be the accessory lobe, and then it becomes an excess lobe, which is problematic. Now the Gemara continues, Amar Rafram, hai reya de damia lo ufta trefa. If you have a lung that is similar to a piece of wood, it is trefa. So now, what does that mean that it's similar to a cut or chopped split piece of wood? That could come in two forms. It could be in appearance that it's that way, or it could be in texture that it's that way. And that's what the Gemara says. Ikedamre, there's some that say bichazuta, that has to do with the appearance. Ikedamre bigishata. And some say that it is with the touch or the sensory side of it, the way that you feel the texture of it. Igadamre dinefika. So here Rashi explains that this is parallel. Chazuta and nefika are the same thing. That the wood has a very white look to it. Like when you split wood. Wood's darker on the outside. When you split the wood in the middle, in the center, it's much lighter. It's whiter. And that's what Rashi says over here. If the lung is very white, beicha. So that's one way to explain it, that it has to do with the appearance, and if it looks like wood, it looks white like the wood, that's problematic. The other possibility is ikadamre de bechiza, that it is hard, and that would have to do with begishta, the way that the sensory input, the texture of it is bechiza, that's very hard. Ikadamre de shia, it's extremely smooth, the litle chitucha de oni. It's missing the dividing lines between the lobes. So here you actually have three different explanations of what it means it looks like wood. One is appearance-wise. It has the same coloring as the wood, or the other possibility is that it has the same texture as the wood. Now that texture can be true in appearance as well. Wood, when you split it, has tons of grain lines on it. So those grain lines also could be in appearance. If the lung looks like that, with the wood with tons of grain lines on it, that could also be the possibility. Or it could mean that it's hard. It's hard like wood, and that's the feel to it. Or the texture could be the same thing, that it's very bumpy. Wood, when you have the grain lines, when you run your hand across it, it's not very smooth. After you split it, it has grain lines, and it's bumpy until you file it down. So that too, maybe the lung, when you feel it, has that texture to it. All those would be problematic with the lung. The last one is the interesting one, which is the shia. It's extremely smooth, and you do not see a differentiation between the lobes. It could look like a big balloon then. That's the way the Eshkol and the Raivot see it. It means that's exactly what it is. The Rambam says that it just means that there's two lobes now, two massive lobes that create the lungs. Instead of having the five lobes and the umot down below, it's five big ones. And then the Rambam also brings that it says that if you have any two loaves that don't have the natural dividing between them, that's called the Shia. And over here, Rashi explains, doesn't have a complete division, besedek, elekimin mar ehefresh nikar bok sheira, the lav Shia ku uftahi. That is not smooth or flat like wood. Wood is a flat surface. And if it's a flat surface, it means completely flat surface. It means there's no divider whatsoever. There's no split in the wood. So Rashi says this in the Bali Tosafot, say something similar, which is that if you have a smooth lung, but there's a line there, that indicates there's a division between them, even though that's not a complete division, it doesn't run all the way down and through, the fact that there's an indicating dividing line that's there, that's enough to not be called smooth, and it's not a trefa. So even though the separation doesn't run all the way through as a complete tzedek, the fact that it has on the surface, there's a visual differentiation between them, that's enough. That's what Rashi says over here. Even though it's just elekamin mar'eh hefresh, and it has what looks like the natural divisions of what the lungs normally have, that's enough to make it kasher in this case. And it's only a trefa when it's absolutely smooth. And again, we saw the differences of opinions with how smooth that has to be. All right, now the Gemara moves on. And here we discuss the colors that we opened up today with. Amarava kukukhla, if it is a dark bluish black, kshera, that is considered to be fine. I mean, if the lung has that color, then that's fine. Kidiyuta, on the other hand, if it has like ink, dried ink, trefa, then it's problematic. The difference being as to whether the lung is in a position that it is damaged to the point where it's not going to recover, or is it some sort of illness or ailment that will recover. So the dark black means that the lung is already damaged to the point where it's not going to recover from it. And then we're afraid that either it's going to have a puncture or there's something going to go wrong with it. And therefore, it's problematic. The darkish blue black is either that's natural color or it's something that will heal. Then it's not problematic. Now Rashi, in describing kukhla, like blue, said, Seva kachol, she'ukim mare lazur. It's a dark blue color that's like the lazur color. If you look in the Agot Runschenberg, he says, Nirmanai blua, kamarerakia, blue like the sky. Lo yaruk velo shachor. It's not a greenish blue, and it's not a blackish blue. It's a blue. That's the way Rashi describes it over here. It's a dark blue that doesn't reach to the darker side of black, and it's not on the lighter side of blue that has a greenish tint to it. It's a bluer blue, and that blue is okay. Then the Gemara continues and says, "Damar Rabbi Chanina, the reason being shachor adom hu. By dam nida, we consider black to be a reddish blood that's really something that's gone afoul. And similarly over here, a black lung is really a red lung, elishalaka, but something went wrong. It was damaged or something went wrong with it, went bad with it. So we saw before that red lungs are okay when you have the entire membrane peeled off the lung. And it looked reddish, that was the natural state of the lung. We also saw the accessory lobe was called the inunita divarda, the reddish accessory lobe. So you see that red was the natural color, and black is an indication of red that's gone afoul. And yoroka kshera, if it is greenish, Rashi says kamina savim, like types of vegetation that you see outside, grass that's green, that is okay. Meet the Rabbi Natan, I'm going to see in a second, like Rabbi Natan. And aduma. If it's reddish, meaning Rabbi Natan is fine, and Rashi gives the color of Shankutruda, sort of reddish color, that is kosher, meet the Rabbi Natan, from Rabbi Natan as well. This is a story in Rabbi Natan that comes up in the Gemara in Shabbat, which is the Tanya. Rabbi Natan Omer, Pamachat alachti dekachei hayam. There was one time I was traveling overseas to one of the islands out in the Mediterranean. Bata isha achat efanai, shemala bna rishon, umeit. She gave a brit milah to her first son, and he passed away. Sheni umeit, to the second son, and passed away. Shlishi, if you told her fanai. I showed up there, she brought me the third one and said, what do I do? I don't want to lose another child. What should I do here? Tosafot points out that he thinks Rabbi Natan is subscribing to Rabbi's position that you create a chazaka with two times and not three times. It's interesting, there's a machloket as to whether two or three creates a chazaka. The truth is that even in that machloket, the Bali Tosafot suggests in Gemara and Yevamot that machloket is not as clear as you think, which is that the certain instances, even the dissenting opinion would agree that two is a chazaka. And maybe in cases like this, where there's sakanat nefashot, then maybe even the dissenting opinion to Rabbi would agree that that it is two times is a chazak over here. Maybe it's not just like Rabbi. You have to look in the Gemara Nivamot over there in the discussion of the Rishonim as to when that has application or not. So now she brings the third child before him. I saw that he was reddish in nature. Rashi over here says that the reddish is that the dam was sitting between the skin and the flesh and had yet to be absorbed into the body. And he says, Amarti la biti, hamtimi lo ad shiv la bo damo. Wait until that reddish tint goes away, because then the blood would be absorbed, and he won't bleed to death if you give him a brit milah. So Rashi says over here, and there's no problem with that, because sakanat defashot is dochek kol haTorah, except for the three cardinal sins. And brit milah is not one of those three cardinal sins. And tinalo, they waited for the blood to be absorbed into the body, umala oto, and then she gave him a brit milah, v'chayam, and the baby survived. V'yukurim oto natana bavli al shmi. And they named the baby Natana Bavli because I saved his life, because I gave her the advice that now she was able to give a brit milah to her third son, and he was named after me. Another time I traveled to Kaputkia, whether that means in Africa or that means a little further east, northeast of Eretz Yisrael. Again, a woman came that gave a brit milah to her first child, Umeit, and he passed away. Sheni gave a brit milah to her second child and died. Shlishi of Yotah the Fanai. The third child now was born, she brought her to me. Ra'itim Shaya Ruk. I saw that he was green. Hitzatzti Bo. I examined him, I checked him out. Vloya Bo Dam Brit. He didn't have the Dam Brit yet. Sounds like jaundice, that he had a yellowish, greenish tint to him. And you're gonna see from the Gemara here, and as well as Rashi's interpretation, that Yeruk over here may not be a pure green, but maybe a more yellowy green, yellowish tint to it. Amarti la biti, amtini lo achipo damo. Wait until his color comes back to him. Wait till the bilirubin count goes down so that he doesn't look so yellowish, so jaundiced. And then give him the brit milah. Amtini lo, she waited for that. Umala oto v'chayo. And she gave the brit milah. Sure enough, the baby lived. Ayu korin oto natana bavli al shmi. And they called him natana bavli after me. And again here you see both the color red and the color green, where he says that they're healthy. He just needed more time for everything to straighten out. But he doesn't see red or green being something that is laka, damaged or problematic, to the point where the baby can't survive. It just needed time. And similarly, by the lungs, we're going to say the same thing. It's interesting, we're carrying over from human beings to lungs, and we're carrying over about the whole appearance of a human being to the appearance of lungs. But the Gemara says green and red as not being colors of problem, but rather temporary issues, or natural colors that slowly resolve themselves, and therefore he doesn't see that as being a treifa. And similarly by the lungs, we would say the same thing, that's not a treifa. Amarav kana, kikavdo, if the lungs look like a liver, which is hepatization, kshera, then the lung is fine. Kibisra, on the other hand, if it has a carnification of it, then it's treifa. If it looks like the basar, looks like flesh, then it is problematic. So if it has the hepatization of it, which it looks like a liver, then it's okay. If it looks like carnification, looks like the basar, then it's a treifa. Simanech. The way to remember it is basar basadeh treifa. That basar associated with treifa. So if the lungs look like basar, then they are a treifa. If they look like a liver, then they are serim. And the liver has a much smoother texture to it. And also is a color that is along the brownish-yellow spectrum, versus the basar, which has a much more sinewy, muscular texture to it, and which has more of a reddish-yellow appearance to it. And that would be the difference between them. Amarav Sama Brei Derava, Haireya Dedamya Kishuta Ukumorika Ukugon Biata Trefa. If you have a lung that looks like hops, or morika saffron, or an egg, trefa. All of those colors are problematic. So now the Gemara says, Ela Yeroka de Ksheira Echidamya. Then what is the green that is okay? Now none of those that we just mentioned here are green. Hops, saffron, and eggs have yellow in them. They certainly do not have green in them. It's another indication that when the Gemara uses the term Yerakrak, it doesn't necessarily mean green. It means more yellowish. That's what the Gemara says with regards to Esther. Esther Yerakreket Taita. She was, now if you call it green, that Achashverosh still loved her, that was miraculous in nature, that's what the Gemara Megillah is suggesting, but in likelihood it's not Yerakrak is green, it's more that she had a yellowish tint to her. She was pale because she was fasting. But again, it's not green. It's more like a yellowish tint. And you see over here, Gemara is giving examples of tints of yellow and brown, and they're calling them yarok. So then, what is the yarok that is kasher? Echidami kekarti. It's like karti, which can be translated as a leek, or we know from the Gemara in the Mishnayot in the beginning of Brachot, the karti is very similar to techelet. So whatever you think the color of techelet is, then the karti is similar in nature to that color. Rashi before said that the yarok that was kasher was kamina savim. It's like grasses, when it has like a deeper green to it. I mean, it's probably a deeper green than the yellowy green that you have. And that's closer to a blue than it is to a yellow. It's a real green. And that's why it would be considered to be kasher versus the yellowish, which is problematic. And that's what Rashi says over here. Kol elem min yarokain. These are all types of green. Just different shades of green. And anything that's in the spectrum of krug, according to Rashi, is called green. So obviously Rashi is speaking about a wide spectrum, which is not just green, like we think of green today, but includes yellows and browns in it, in terms of what's classified as being green in the Gemara. And Tosfot over here says, V'nire du tseva indish belaz, du dami l'rekia. It's similar to indish, which is similar to the sky's color. Maybe like an indigo. Because the Gemara, the Mishnayot, in the beginning of Brachot, make it sound like tchelet. So Rashi is calling it like green, like asavim, which are vegetation, like a real green. Tosfot is saying it's more like an indigo, it's more like a bluish green, and it's similar to the color of the sky, because karte is compared or contrasted with tchelet. So now he takes this and extrapolates that. What about the fact that the Gemara in the third parak in Sukkah says that an etrog that is green, kikartan, is problematic? So he says, davka b'tseva indish. That's only true when it has like a bluish green to it. Is it problematic? Miunira mikoch zein achshir shar etrogim ayirokim. Says, even with that, I don't think we can be matter all these green etrogim based on what the Rabbeinu Tam is now extending from what we have here. Tolona kat kikartan nemute sharini neirakot. Because over there, it's not telling you that bluish green is problematic, but green green is okay. It's just saying that that is also problematic. And it says over here too. When it says kartan, doesn't just mean the bluish green. It means any form of green is okay. And that means even the green that Rashi mentions of the asavim is okay. Only v'cheinira d'loata de'mute. The only thing they're excluding is the yellowish spectrum of the green that are like kashuta, morika, and biata. The Tosfot says in the spectrum of green, you have blue and you have yellow on the other side of the spectrum. So the green sits in between. So when you say kartan, you mean anything that is in the bluish green to the green spectrum. That's all considered by the case of etrog to be problematic, in our case to be kasher. The thing that is not okay is when it has that yellowish side to it. That's when it is problematic. Even though it's in the spectrum of the yellowish green, that is problematic by us. So the core primary colors are blue, red, and yellow. And that it might be exactly what's being discussed over here, that green is really a combination of yellow and blue. And the question is, in the spectrum of yellow and blue, which side are you closer to? Are you closer to the blue spectrum or the yellow spectrum? And that might be why green covers that entire spectrum, because green is really a combination of two primary colors. And the balance between the two primaries determines how green to blue are you versus how green to yellow are you to how green you are. And that's the discussion that's really taking place over here. Okay, Amar Avina. Atum bereya. If you have a section of the lung which is blocked. So now when you inflate it, for instance, it does not inflate. Maitinan sakina. We bring a knife. We karinala. And we cut that end of the lobe where it's not inflating, where it's blocked. Itva mugla, if liquid starts to leach out of there after you cut it, vadai machmat muglaho, the problem was the liquid, uksheira, and then it's fine. The reason it wasn't inflating is because there was liquid in that part of the lung, and if we cut it out, then that's a fine lung. The lung was sealed, it just had some liquid in there, and that's why it was blocked or it doesn't inflate. Ilo, if that's not the case, modvina nala gadfa, Oroka, Omevatsvitsa, similar to the test that we did before in yesterday's daf, You put a feather or saliva on it. If when you blow on it, it starts to bubble up, kshera. If it moves, then the air is flowing through it. Ilo, trefa. If not, it's a trefa. That means that there's a significant blockage somewhere else. And that freeing up the edge of it does not allow the air to come through. That means that there's really a blockage. There's something seriously wrong with this lobe of the lung or this section of the lung. Amar of Yosef. Krum, shala machmat makah bereya, eno krum. If you have some sort of growth, scabbing, plugging that happens through a hole that grew because of an injury, that's not considered to be a seal. And again, we spoke about this before with regards to the heart. We're afraid that that's going to later on dislodge or come away. It's not something that's a proper seal, and therefore you're going to have a hole there, and it's not considered to be a kshera, it's still a trefa. Amar Rav Yosef, hareya da avsha, this lung, and again, we add this back on Mem Vav Amud Bet, that makes noise when you inflate it. Iyadein anecha avsha, if you know where the noise or the problem is coming from, manichan ala gadfa ogila oroka, you place on it either a feather or straw or saliva. Imevatsvitsa, when you blow through it, they start to move. Trefa, then there's a hole there because the air is coming through and that's what's causing them to move. So then you know there's really a hole there. Vilo, if there's no air coming out from there, kshera, then it's fine. If nothing moves when you blow through it, it means that there's no air coming out of the lung, it's fine. Iloya dinanla, if we can't find where the source of the noise is when you inflate the lungs is coming from, maite mishichuta demaya pshure, then we bring some sort of bowl or utensil that has warm water in it, umazvinala begava, and then we insert the lung into there, and you inflate the lungs inside of this warm water, and you see bubbles come out, and then you'll know if there's holes there. Bichamime lo, don't put it into boiling hot water, dekavtse, because they cause the shrinking or the shriveling of the lungs, and that will seal up a hole that was there, and then you won't get the right answer. Bikriri lo, and don't put it into cold water, dimitarshe, because it makes it hard and brittle, and therefore even if there wasn't a hole before, when you inflate it, it's going to be so hard and brittle, it's going to split apart when there's pressure from the air. Ela bat ginala bitshure. We check it with warm water. Imivatspitsa trefa. If it causes bubbling, then it's a trefa. Ilo kshera. If it doesn't cause bubbling, then it's fine. Tata'a inkiv. That means that the lower membrane was punctured. Ilalo inkiv. And the upper membrane, the outer membrane, wasn't punctured. By the avsha. And the noise that you're hearing is zika de beni beni. It's the air that is moving between the two membranes. And so therefore, there is a hole, but the hole is an internal membrane. And since the external membrane is fine, it's not a problem. And the noise that you're hearing is not air escaping. It's air escaping from the internal membrane in between the internal and the external membrane, and that's what's causing the noise, but the lungs are fine. Again, similar to what we saw in Mem Vav Amud Bet. Amar Rabbi Ula, Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Reya shenishpacha kikaiton kshera. If you have a lung and you're moving around, there's liquid floating around in there like a pitcher, and it's filled with liquid and it's sloshing around, that's fine. Alma kasavar yiksaron mibifnim losh michisaron. Sounds from this that when you're missing the internal organs inside of the lungs, that's fine. Because the whole internal part of the lungs has liquefied. And now you're saying, no problem, that's kshera. That makes it sound like just because the internal bronchi are missing, no problem at all. Eitve Rabbi Abba Lugo. So Rabbi Abba challenged Ula on this. Harayash nikva. If you have a lung that is punctured, has a hole in it. Or shechasera. Or is missing a piece of it. That was our mission. Our mission says, if your lung has a hole in it or is missing a piece, it is a trefa. Mai chaseira. What does it mean it's missing a piece? Ilema mi bachutz. If you tell me externally it's missing a piece of the lung, hainu nikva. That's the equivalent of a hole. A hole without chaseira, that's problematic. And certainly where it is chaseira, you have a problem because that is a hole. Or by design, it's going to be a hole. Elalav mi bifnim. Then so chaseira must mean internally. From there you would conclude that an internal problem is a real problem. Where it says, look, the chisaron is outside. So then you're telling me that it's the same or equivalent of having a hole. Look, tzricha ella l'Rabbi Shimon. This is Rabbi Shimon shita damar ad shitina kev the beta simponot. That the hole is only a problem when it reaches the central bronchial tubes. Sahani milin nekev, delepe chisaron. That's only true when there's nothing missing, it's just a hole. Then you have to go to the central bronchi. Of a nekev, deepa chisaron. But if you have a nekev that has something missing from it, afilu Rabbi Shimon modeh. even Rabbi Shimon is Modeh in that case, and that's why it's problematic to Chitzaron, even though it's not internal, it's external. So it's sitting on top of Rabbi Shimon's opinion, which is that only when it's punctured through to the central bronchi is the problem. But for him, that's only when there's just a puncture. If there's something missing, he agrees that there's a problem, even if you don't reach to that point. And that's the Kiddush of the Mishnah. The Baal Tosfot point out, V'yesh ratzu le'esor, k'shenira dereya chasira, that when the lung looks like it's missing something, they want it to be making into a treifa. She'esh kemet v'sedek, if it has some sort of fold in the lobe, or some sort of crack, v'chisaron alareya, afilu ola benifika. Even though when you inflate the lung, that fold or that tzedek disappears. Va'or va'basar kayam. And the lung is totally intact. It's just that when it's not inflated, it has a fold in it, or it has a problem in it. Ve'shiv lem riva, the ta'ut hu bi'adam. The Rivam says that you're wrong about that, because the Gemara should have mentioned that. And that then, according to the Rabbonon, you could come up with the case of chasera, that it was not missing anything, but just looks like it's missing something. The Gemara could have answered that. The fact that the Gemara didn't answer that, and says it's only in Shita Rabbi Shimon there's a Chiddush of Chisaron, that tells you that if it just looks like a Chisaron, and there is no Chisaron, that that's not problematic. And therefore he believed if you inflated it, the folds, or the what looked like a Chisaron disappeared, it was fine. He says, V'chein pasach Rabbeinu Kolumos Hazakein. Rabbeinu Kolumos passed the like the revolver here, that those were not considered to be Chisaron, and that was fine. Rabbi Hananiah Chalash, he fell ill, ala gabei Rabbi Natan b'chol gdolei hador. Rabbi Natan and all the gdolim came to see him. Aitu kamei reya, shenishpacha kekeiton v'achshara. While he's on his bed, he's all sick, they bring him in a cow's lungs, that inside there was where liquid floating around, like a pitcher, meaning that it was totally liquefied on the inside. Amarova v'hu dekaime simponot. That which we are machshir here, when it's totally liquefied on the inside, that's only if the bronchi are still intact. How do you know that the liquefaction on the inside is not the bronchi, just the other areas around it, or it's also the bronchi? How can you tell the difference? You bring an earthenware utensil that is glazed with the lead, and then you open up the lung, and you let all the liquid go into this bowl or this utensil. If it has streaks of white in it, treifa, because the bronchi are white, a hard cartilage that is white, and if they were dissolved in the liquid that was inside, you would see strips or pieces of white that came out with it. Velo, if there's no pieces of white, kshera, then the bronchi are intact. Amar Rav Nachman, reya shenimoka, that it dissolved. Rashi says over here, nitrokname leha mitzata. There's a section of it that has dissolved or liquefied, but it's not the entire thing that has liquefied. And the external membrane is still there. Kshera, that is totally fine. Tanya Nami Ochav, we have a braita that supports this. Reya shenimoka, v'krum shalak kayam. If you have a reya that dissolved in portion of it, and the external membranes are intact, afilu machzeket revi'it. Even if that area is full of a revi'it of liquid, kshera, that is fine. Nitla shalfuchit shalak. If the womb of the animal is taken out, kshera. Now Tosafot over here makes a distinction. He says, "Aval nikev kisa sheten onital treifa." Adjacent to each other in the female animal is the bladder and the womb. And what Bali Tosafot point out is that if the womb is taken out, then the animal is kshera. But if the bladder is taken out or the bladder is punctured, that is a treifa. So don't mix up the bladder and the womb. And again, the bladder again expands when it's filled. So it has something that looks similar to the womb, but it's not the womb, even though they're adjacent to each other. If the liver of the animal is rotten, and hitlia may literally mean that there are worms in it, there's some sort of disease that there are worms in it, there was an incident like this. So the people of Asya, either whether it's Asia Minor or it's someplace out to the east of Eretz Yisrael and Eber Yardain, they came up to the Rego, to Yavne, that's where the Chachamim were post the Churban HaBayit, and they asked them the question, three Regalim. So the first two Regalim, they didn't answer them. The Rego Shlishi, Tiru Lehem. They said it was Mutar, and that relates to what we saw in yesterday's daf with regards to the liver that the liver, if portions of the liver are still intact, b'makom shechaya, b'makom hamara, in the place where the gallbladder is, in the place where it's attached, if it's along the diaphragm, we saw different parts where if there was leftovers of the kaved of the liver, that was sufficient. And seemingly this also fits into that category, which is, even though it's rotten or there are worms crawling in it, it's diseased somehow, that doesn't make it into a trefa because the liver is still there. You don't need the whole liver for it to be kasher. You just need the liver or portion of the liver to be functioning in order for it to be there, and therefore it's not a trefa. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Memchet Amud Aleph.